Your Bible should be open to Luke chapter 11. As I said, there's going to be plenty of messages on prayer. I just was stirred in my spirit to consider the value of prayer. I mean, it seems like we know how to do it. We know how to bend our knees and we know how to talk. And sometimes I wonder if we're not talking to ourselves in our room all by ourselves. But to do it. To just take time to pray. And I'm going to try to show you the value of prayer today if I can. And hopefully with the Lord's help, obviously, get these truths down into our heart. In Luke chapter 11, I guess it'd be good if I was there. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, just for this one verse of Scripture, Lord, and there's many more we're going to look at today, but Father, we need you to come in fullness, Lord, and teach us about the value of prayer. Teach us about yourself this morning. I pray you'd help this preacher, Lord, and that you'd take your Bible now, your word, and implant it into our hearts, Lord. We need you, Father, desperately this morning. We don't need anything else. We just need you. So we ask you, Lord, to meet with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. You know, if you just look back in chapter 6, just look back in chapter 6 and verse 12, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer." You know, I know that when we look back in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, I understand the implication is, Lord, teach us how to pray, because it goes on to give us kind of like a model prayer. And all those things are going to be incorporated into the points that I'm going to share with you. But really, it's Lord, teach us to pray is what it says. It's almost as if we don't do it. We know how, and that's in the verse, I understand that. But it seems like we need to just, Lord, teach us to pray. Show us how valuable prayer is. Show us how much we need to talk to you, Lord, because we don't do it. And for some reason, we just apparently don't see the value of prayer. You know, why pray at all? He already knows what you want. He already knows what you need. And you could just say, well, let him give me what he thinks is best. And that's true, and he will. But why do we pray? Why pray at all? Because God wants to give us those gifts, but he doesn't want us to take it for granted. He wants us to know where those gifts came from. That we earnestly pleaded with him and spoke with him in prayer and came to him and asked our Heavenly Father. He doesn't mind giving us good gifts, but he wants us to remember where they came from and that we earnestly desired them and that we wouldn't take it for granted. We need to see the value of prayer. In verses 2 through 4, look what Jesus said. They speak to him and he speaks to them. And he said unto them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Luke 11, verse 2, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." What he's saying is, he's calling us to prayer. He's assuming we're praying. When ye pray, when you go into prayer, incorporate these things into your prayer life. What is this thing called prayer anyway? What does it mean to pray? Simply, Webster says, it's earnestly asking for something. It's talking to God, addressing the Lord. And most of you would have an answer too if I said, what does it mean to pray? You may say, it's just talking to God. And it is. It's asking God for things. And it is. It's getting help from God when we need it. And it is. It's all those things. And it's blessing, asking for blessings from him and praising him. It's all those things. So all those would be right. So what's the problem? Then why don't we pray? Why don't we spend time in prayer like Jesus spent time in prayer? There are a number of reasons. There's worldly distractions in our life, and they affect every one of us. TV, computers, iPhones, gadgets, games, they distract us from prayer. We spend more time in front of the TV than we've ever spent time with God. I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of you spent 5 minutes in prayer this morning? Think about it. There's many other things that you did that are going to burn up and mean absolutely nothing in eternity, but the time that you spent with your Heavenly Father means everything, eternal blessings forever. Worldly distractions. Self gets in the way, doesn't it? Laziness. Are we not lazy in prayer? Come on, we're lazy in prayer. We won't take the time to pray. We don't have time. We're too busy to pray. That's why we're so busy, because we haven't prayed. We haven't got God's will and priorities straight in our own lives. We don't think it's important. I just forgot, because there were so many other things that were on my mind that I was thinking about. I venture to say that we just don't see the value in it. It's just not as important as the other things I have to do, Lord. You need to get this one point, that we don't see the value in prayer. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Any message that anyone preaches can be encouraging or convicting. It was both to me. I hope you're getting something out of this when I preach. I hope you're getting something from God's Word that'll help you. That'll help you. It convicted me, and it encouraged me in many ways. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And that's what leads me to say, Jesus Christ went to the cross at Calvary easier than we go to a throne of grace. Why? Because he saw value in it. Because he knew when he went and despised the shame, he was looking forward to the glory of the cross. The joy of the cross was his church. And I tell you, as much value as he saw in the cross and what would come from the cross, we ought to see in prayer. It's valuable for the joy that is set before us also. Why did Jesus go to that old rugged cross to die and become a sin bearer for us, easier than we go to a throne of grace? We need to consider this morning. Ladies know what value is. It's simply getting the most for my money. When you go to Tesco or whatever store, you're looking for the 3 for €6 and a 2 for €1. And that's good, because so do I, because I'm right by Kathy going, too much. Find the 2 for €1 or the 3 for €6 or so. We're looking for some value. We're looking for some bang for our euro, you know. And I want to get the most, the maximum benefit for the effort that we put out. That's value. You know what it is? It's just worth. Something that has value has worth. We esteem it highly. We don't esteem prayer highly. We don't find value in it. If we did, now look, all of us, if we really did, we'd spend more time in prayer. We'd see how valuable it is to us. The theme last month was His Word. And we learned about the Bible. We learned about the Word of God. And we don't know God. If we knew Him, we would seek Him. We've had a whole month of being told to get into our Bibles and find out who God is and find out what it means to live the Christian life. And if we did, if we had started that, we would be in prayer, because when we get into the Bible, we learn who God is, who He really is, believe that He is, and we would begin to diligently seek Him, knowing that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It's no accident that last month was about the Word of God and this month is about prayer. These are the two vital links in the chain for the Christian to stay close to God. Without it, you die. Without it, we die. We need the Word of God and we need prayer. Look at Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." There's a whole lot of promises in there. God says, "You'll find me if you seek for me with all of your heart." He says, "I'll be found." Verse 14 says, "I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations," talking to the nation of Israel. "I will be found of you." God tells the truth. He said, if you come to me with your whole heart and you earnestly seek me, you will find me in prayer. Isn't that wonderful? That's valuable. That should be of some worth to us to get us to think about this thing called prayer. It's worth spending time with Him. It's valuable. If we knew God, we would know the value of prayer. Our memory verse is a precious thing, that we can come boldly unto a throne of grace. Amen. So first I want to talk about the value of prayer is the person of prayer. We get to talk to God. We get to talk to Almighty God. The value of prayer is our Father who art in heaven. He is Almighty God. He's my Father and He's in heaven. I get to talk to Him. That should ruffle us up a little bit, that we get to talk to God. And He hears us and He answers our prayers. He's our Father. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Sometimes it takes a while for things to sink into our heads. I know it does with me. We have to hear it over and over again. And finally, the light goes on. And I say, He's my Father. I'm His son. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. He's made us accepted in the Beloved. He sought me. I didn't seek Him. He sought you. You didn't seek after God. He sought after you. And He said, I want you in my family. And He chose us and made us His children. He's my Heavenly Father. And He's your Heavenly Father if you're saved here today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, He is your Creator. But He's not your Heavenly Father. You have another Father. You need to get saved today. You need to know that God in heaven sent His own Son to die on the cross for you. But it's a wonderful thing. Once you get saved, you realize He's my Father. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." He's my heavenly daddy. It's an endearing, touching, intimate name for God Almighty, my Father on the throne. He's my Abba, Father. He's my heavenly Father. You know, Jesus, when He was in the garden, and Matthew 26, they came to Him with swords, and they came seeking after Him when Judas betrayed Him. And when they came into that garden, they came with the swords and staves, and they were approaching Him, and Peter pulled out his sword and did what? He cut off Malchus's ear. Cut off his ear. And Jesus, whether He picked that ear up, I don't know, but he put His hand there and He healed that ear. And He said, "Think not that I cannot now pray to my Father in heaven and have 12 legions of angels come right now." But He didn't. Because He was going to make sure that the Scriptures were fulfilled. But who was He praying to? His God? He prayed to His Father. Guess who your Father is? The same one, and He has legions of angels for you too. He's the same Father. He's my Father. Jesus said, "I can pray now my Father, and He'll send hundreds, thousands of angels right now if I want Him to." God wants to do the same thing for us. He's your Father. I hope you're getting the value of talking to God, your Father. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57. Remember who we're talking to in prayer. Isaiah 57, verse 15. It says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Look at this. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. You don't think God wants to help your broken heart? You don't think God is in heaven? The heaven of heavens can't contain him. He's the high and lofty one. He is holy, but he wants to dwell in my heart. And we can seek him in prayer, humbly, and he'll come. And not only dwell in eternity in the high and lofty place, but he'll dwell in my heart. He's looking for that broken heart. He's looking for that contrite heart to come and help us and be there for us. He's a holy God. Hallowed be thy name, Jesus said. Our Father who art in heaven, but hallowed be thy name. He's not only our Father, he's also God, Almighty, Jehovah, who wants to come into my heart and help me when I have burdens. I think that's valuable. There's a hymn called Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. In light, inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days. Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, all help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. He's got it right. That God is the same God we can go to. And he wants to dwell in our hearts. I think we need to start talking to him. I think we need to start talking to Almighty God. Psalm 113. Psalm 113 verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above all the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord, our God who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in earth? What kind of God is that? That has to humble himself to look into the things of earth. The earth is his footstool. The heavens are his throne. And he humbles himself to look into the things that go on in heaven and earth. But he's our God and he's our Heavenly Father. And every time we bow the knee and every time we close our eyes and earnestly seek him, we can talk to him. We can talk to that God. I hope you see the value of prayer. He's our creator. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Makes no assumption about anything else except that God is the creator. Not a big bang, not some other thing that Stephen Hawking just came up with. He's taking God out of the picture altogether again. Doesn't matter what he says. What matters is what God has said. He's the creator, and we get to talk to him. I'm just trying to get you to see the value of prayers that we get to talk to Almighty God. The value of prayer is the power of prayer. We can experience the power of God. Thy kingdom come. You know, he has a kingdom. And he has a throne. And he is a king. He has power that he can give to anyone who comes to him in prayer. E.M. Bounds said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better programs, not new organizations, not more novel methods. What it needs is men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men that are mighty in prayer, that have been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and women, I might add, too. The church is limping along because we're depending on our outlines and our programs and everything else, and we don't have God. But if we had God, we'd have Almighty God giving us the power that we need to go out and win souls and to teach and to preach and to win this world for Jesus Christ. We don't have the power of God. But when we come to God in prayer, we can pull down that power. In a sense, we can be pulled up to that power, is what I really want to say. We need him. He doesn't need us. To have power with men, we first need to have power with God, and we don't have it. We need the power of God. What we need is God's power, and there's no other way to do it. You know, I thought of the church, honey, it's like plowing a field with a lawnmower engine attached to your plow. You're not going to get very far. You're not going to dig up any field. You need a John Deere with a nice big V8 Cummins engine in it, and that'll do the job because it has power. We need power. We're limping along like a lawnmower engine instead of a nice big diesel engine. The church needs power. God's power. Look at Romans 13:1. Romans 13:1. You don't get that power anywhere else. You have to go to God to get it. Romans chapter 13 and in verse 1. 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." You could say a lot about all the powers that are out there and all the people who think they have great power. They have no power. Jesus told that to Pontius Pilate. You have no power except it's been given you. You don't have any power except God has given it to you. There's no power but of God. He's the highest. He's the greatest power. We can get the power of his gospel. Isn't that powerful? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You talk about power. John 17:2 says, Jesus said to his heavenly Father when he's praying, you've given me power over all flesh. He has power. Great power. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me. That's the power we have inside of us by the Holy Spirit of God. Is he ruling and reigning in your life? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you should all know it. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, right? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. Why? Because you have power. Ye shall receive power. The power to win souls. The power to be a witness. The same power that God has is in us by the Holy Spirit. You know, without God's power on the inside and fire on the inside, nothing's going to happen on the outside. Nothing. Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. You can't do a little bit. We can't do anything without Jesus. You can't even breathe your next breath without Jesus Christ. My heart only beats because Jesus allows it to beat. He has all power. Power to serve the Lord in a greater way. Look at Mark chapter 9. Remember, the man brought his son, had a dumb spirit. And the disciples just couldn't get that spirit out. And the man finally brought him to Jesus. And Jesus had told him, in verse 19, I'm sorry, he says, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And he cast the spirit out. Faith. Faith. Look in verse 29. And he said unto them, this kind of power, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. These are the things, whether we're denying our flesh so that we're dependent upon God and trusting in God through fasting and prayer. We can get the power of God. It's there. It's available to us. It's valuable to pray because we need the power of God, the power to do the will of God. And God's will, even Jesus in Matthew 26. Let's turn back there, Matthew chapter 26. Jesus needed the power to do the Lord's will, to do God's will. Matthew 26 and verse 39. Remember, he comes into the garden. In fact, in verse 38, he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. He's never said that before. And he's had plenty of bouts with the devil. But now he's in the garden. He's getting ready to go to the cross. He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. It means pray. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Verse 42, he went away again. The second time prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He needed power to do the will of God. I don't think for one minute that Jesus was wrestling with God. And he wasn't wrestling with Satan. I believe he was wrestling in his human nature. Knowing that he was going to the cross to die the death for every man. that the cup that he was about to receive and drink came from who? His Father. The Father, the cup that the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? And he sweat great drops of blood. He was in agony of soul, mind, will, and emotions. He was in agony. And he said, the only way to get through this is to pray to the Father so that I can do his will. You ever been there? Maybe not to that extent, but you ever been so in such agony of soul that you need God? You can get the power of God to do his will. Jesus needed it. In Isaiah 53, 6 and 10, it says that it pleased the Lord to bruise his own son. All that came from God the Father. Had to be laid on his son. And he did that. He drank of the cup. But in order to do the will of God, he prayed and he sought the Father. We need the same thing. We need that power. Human nature normally avoids suffering. But Jesus said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. We need that. Prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with the will of God. Now, I try to explain, if I throw out a boat hook and I'm close to land and I throw out a boat hook and I hook it into the land, when I start to pull, am I pulling the shore to me or am I being pulled to the shore? I'm pulling myself to the shore. The same thing. The same thing when we latch on to the will of God. Prayer is not pulling God down to me. It's me getting myself aligned up with his will. I want God's will for my life. And I need the power to do his will. It's simply doing his will, doing it his way. I need to pray and ask God to help me to do his will. The power to go through tough situations and still glorify God. You know, in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were in a bit of a problem when they were in that jail. And they began to praise the Lord, it says. They began to praise the Lord. And they prayed and sang praises. And what happened? The chains fell off. And the Philippian jailer sprang in and said, what must I do to be saved? They were preaching, praying, and praising the Lord. But you see, they need that. You need that power to go through the tough situations in your life. If you're not going through one right now, you'll go through one. Just hang on. Life is full of troubles. We experience tough situations. Do you see the value of praying? Do you see the value of getting a hold of God, my Father? He wants us to call on him, to trust him, like Moses did, like Joseph in the prison did, like Daniel in the den of lions, he did, like the three boys in the fiery furnace, they called upon him. And Paul and Silas, as I just said, he just wants us to trust him. He just wants us to depend upon him the way any son would depend upon his father. The love of God wants the best for us. A loving father helps us, gives us day by day our daily bread. Now for us, when we open up the cabinets, we don't see God. We see 2 weeks' worth of food. And the refrigerator's full. And we forget who gave us that food. Our thoughts really aren't on God. They're on the store that I just bought it, the money. But God gave us everything. God gave us all of it. Let's not forget God. God told that to the nation of Israel when they went into the land. There's buildings there you didn't build and houses you didn't build. And there's vineyards there you didn't plant. Just don't forget who gave it to you. He wants us to call on him. The wisdom of God, his will is best. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. I like that. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Just doing the will of God. And the power of God to accomplish it, to be fruitful. He said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I abide in them, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me he can do nothing. We really do think we can do something, but we can't do anything. There's not one thing that can be accomplished without Jesus Christ. Nothing. I need to realize that. The value of prayer is the place of prayer. Who art in heaven. We get to talk to God in heaven. We can speak with God anytime, anywhere. We can talk to God. In the church, it binds us closer together as children of God. We come here to fellowship. We come here on Wednesday nights to pray. And it binds us closer together. Whether you're meeting with somebody just to pray with them, it binds us closer together. A family needs to pray. Certainly a church family needs to pray together. We're going to spend some time in prayer this month. It binds us closer together. I find out where your heart is. You know where my heart is. What's troubling me? And it binds us closer together. The church needs to pray. The church is to be known as a place of prayer. Look at Mark chapter 11. Hey, let's find it in the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says about the house of prayer. Mark chapter 11 and verse 17. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. We may not have made it a den of thieves, but is it a house of prayer? Do all the nations, do all the people see when we come together that we're people of prayer? That when Christians come together, real true Christians come together, it could be called a house of prayer. Aren't we the house? Aren't we the lively stones that God is putting his house together? Aren't we the actual church? Are we a house of prayer? Jesus said, you've made it a den of thieves. He said, but my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. Referring back to Isaiah 56, verse 7. He was quoting from Scripture. The church should be known as a place of prayer. Is it? Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, turn there. You remember when Peter was taken in prison? Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but, something's going to change, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Specific prayer for a specific person to God. And they knew the problem. Peter was in jail. And they began to pray for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands, because the church was praying. Look at verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. Now here's a church that's praying. God's answered the prayer. But did they have believing prayer? They didn't believe that Peter was out there. They really didn't believe their prayer was answered. God still answers prayer, though. God answers prayer for his glory. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. What have we been praying about? Have we been praying for a building, and then when God gives it to us, we're going to go, oh, I can't believe it. Say, no. We've been praying for this, Lord. Thank you for answering our prayers. We knew you were going to come through, Lord. What kind of prayers are you praying? Are they believing prayers? The church really had the prayer answered, but they didn't get the blessing. God answered it. God answered it, and he got his preacher out of prison. But the church didn't get a blessing because they didn't really believe what they were praying. Wow, I want to get a blessing. Someone said the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Isn't that right? Amen. Christians should pray together. Acts 1:14, they prayed before Pentecost. They were all together praying. Why? Because the church needs to be a place of prayer. There ought to be private prayer because there's enough trouble in your life and in my life that we need to go to God for. There's enough unsaved people in my family that I need to be praying for. And you too. There's choices and decisions that have to be made every day. And we should have long seasons of prayer alone with God. Let's look at Mark 1:35. Don't hold your prayer life up against anybody else but Jesus Christ. And you'll always say, I'm not there yet. Oh, I don't pray like him yet. Mark 1:35. It says, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. and there prayed. Go to Luke. Just turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And in verse 16, it simply says, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. We need to have private times of prayer. Jesus is our example of doing this. He was God in the flesh, but he shows us that he spent seasons of prayer, hours in prayer, much time talking to God the Father, praying because he needed to. Chapter 6, verse 12 says, and it came to pass in those days he went out into the mountain to pray, as we read, and continued there all night in prayer. Look, if we could just attain, just touch the hem of his garment in prayer, we'd have something. But we can't even unloose the latchet of his shoe when it comes to prayer. We're just learning. We're just learning that there's value in prayer. The days call for fervent prayer. 1 Peter 4:7 told us that there's troublesome times ahead for the Christian, even today, and we need to watch and pray. Jesus said the same thing to his disciples, watch and pray. The days call for fervent prayer. The value of prayer is that it has specific purpose. Specific purpose. You know, Romans 8:28, turn to John chapter 14. 8:28 says, all things work together for good. God has a purpose for everything that happens in our life. To those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. John chapter 14 and verse 13. Look at the value of prayer in that it has a specific purpose. Verse 13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why do we pray? Why do we come and speak to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ? So that the Father is glorified. The Father may be glorified in the Son. Chapter 16 and in verse 24. Chapter 16 and verse 24. Look what Jesus says. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. When I pray, and when you pray, God is glorified and I receive joy. We don't see value in that. Every time that I pray and I go to God, he gets glorified and I get the joy of the Lord. Boy, we ought to spend some time in prayer. I think that's worth something. Matthew 16:13 says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We get to pray for others. We get to pray for each other. Intercessory prayer. That's the purpose of prayer, that we can pray for others. Pray for God's eternal purpose in their life. Pray for the will of God to be accomplished in their life. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Hey, if you're not going to pray for yourself, would you pray for somebody else? I could use some prayer. Pray for me. Leo says he needs some prayer. There's a lot of people that need prayer. We get to pray for each other. Romans chapter 10 and in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and what? Prayer to God. For Israel's that they might be saved. Chapter 9, verse 1 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Praying for unsaved loved ones. Anybody have an unsaved loved one? I do. All of us do, probably, somewhere along the line. We have somebody who's not saved. How much do you pray for them? They're not praying to be saved. But we can pray for them. All we need to intercede for our loved ones. Martin Luther said, pray as if everything depends on God, and then work as if everything depends on you. You see? Pray as if God has to do everything, but then get out there and do something as if it all depended upon you and me. That means try to win them. It's not enough to pray for them. We need to do something about it. We need to pray for Christians to get right with God. Luke 22:32 said, Jesus prayed for Peter. Satan hath the desire to sift you as wheat, Peter. He's come to me, and he's going to sift you. I'm going to allow him to do that, but I prayed for you, he said. I prayed for you. When you go through that trouble and you get converted and turned around and strengthened, Go strengthen the brethren. So things are going to come into your life that Satan may even desire for your life. And the Lord says, don't worry, Jim, I'm praying for you. To go through that time. We ought to be praying for others to get strengthened and converted and turned around and helped. Intercessory prayer. For Christians to get right with each other and forgive our sins, for we forgive everyone indebted to us. Does it not grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't have a forgiving spirit? Hasn't God forgiven us so many things for Christ's sake? And we don't have a forgiving spirit? We ought to pray that we get right with each other. We ought to pray for physical healing and for spiritual healing for people, those in the church. Thank the Lord that Lily came through her surgery with no cancer, and she looked fine when I saw on Friday. She just looks great. And you know what she attributed it to? God.
I know it.
Sure. And we were praying for her. God answered your prayer. Isn't it wonderful that you can pray? Missionaries need prayers. Colossians chapter 4 says that we might have boldness. You're a missionary. Just like there's missionaries that go all around the world, you have to be a missionary in your Jerusalem. God's put you right here. And we need to pray for each other that you would have boldness to open your mouth, John. And then you pray that I'd have boldness to preach the gospel. We pray for each other. That's what Paul said. Pray. Perseverance in prayer. Back to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And in verse 1 it says, I'm sorry, in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go in unto him at midnight and shall say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Do you see those promises in there? If you ask, you shall receive. If you seek him, you will find him. And if you knock at the door, it will be opened. And if we don't believe God, then we call him a liar. He says, I will answer you. If you seek me with all your heart, I will be found. The door will be opened. He promises to answer. We just need to keep asking. We need to persevere in prayer. Keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Because God will give us what we need. We will find him, and the door will be open in prayer. We expect our pastor to pray and be diligent in the word, don't we? We expect him to persevere in prayer. Should we all not persevere in prayer? Ephesians 6:18 tells us all to persevere in prayer. It's part of the resource as children of God and as soldiers for the Lord. When we put our armor on, we better be praying also. Romans 12:12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. We need to pray. The value of prayer is that there's a promise of prayer, that God hears and answers our prayers. We should pray believing prayers, as we heard when we were looking at the memory verse. We should believe what we pray. We should have faith in God that he can do it, that he can do it, and that he will do it. He will answer my prayer. Believe when you pray that God will answer your prayer. It's faith. It shows true dependence upon God. God's the only one that can answer our prayers. And he will answer our prayers. But if he doesn't do it, it can't be done. It's as simple as that. Specific prayer. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 1. The kids in Sunday school learned about Hannah and her prayer. And vow to God for a child. I just love a couple of verses here. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 2. Elkanah, talking about Elkanah, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. She was barren. She had no children. Verse 5. But Hannah, unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion when they were going to sacrifice to the temple. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. Do you see that? The Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, Peninnah, talking about Peninnah, for to make her fret because the Lord has shut up her womb. You know, many times it's the Lord that's doing something in our life. We call it trouble, and it's a problem, but God's doing something in our life. God was doing something in Hannah's life. God had shut up her womb. It wasn't a physical problem. God was doing something. Now look, God shut up her womb. Look at verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. Prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. So she cries out to God. She even makes a promise to God that if you give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. Verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord, what? He remembered her. God never forgets anything. He remembered Hannah. He remembered her crying out in bitterness of soul, and he remembered her. God never forgets when we pray. There's not one tear you'll shed in prayer that God doesn't just catch it in his hand, and he knows exactly what you're going through, and he'll remember you when you need it. He'll be there for you. He was there for Hannah, and he'll be there for me, and he'll be there for you. He never forgets when we ask him for things. Trust God. Trust God. Verse 24 says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And it goes on to say, she did what she said she was going to do. She gave Samuel unto the Lord. God knew she would. God answered her prayer. I'm just telling you, when you pray, trust God. He won't forget you. He'll remember you. Acts chapter 10. Hey, I'm almost done here. Acts chapter 10 and verse 31. Look at this. There's a promise of prayer. God hears and remembers when you ask to know him. You may not know God right now. You may not know him the way others know him, as being a child of God. Maybe you know about God up here in your head. And I've been to church before, and I know about religion, but I want to know more about God. I want God to come into my heart. I want to understand what these other people understand about God. They're so assured that they're going to go to heaven. I would like to know that. I would like to know how to go to heaven. Look at Acts chapter 10. You know the story of Cornelius. In verse 2, it says, a devout man, one that feared God and all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. There's a lot of people out there when you knock on their door that they're devout in their religion. And they pray to God always. It's what they're asking for. Cornelius has to know God. He wanted to know God. And in verse 31, it says, and said Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in what? Remembrance in the sight of God. What happened? Cornelius was asking to know God in a greater way than just religion. He wanted to know him as a Savior. He wanted to know Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And if you want to know him today, God will open your heart. God will send somebody and tell you how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You can know that today before you leave this room. In fact, verse 43 says, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. There's no one too low, too high, too good, too bad. Bond or free, it doesn't matter what color you are. God wants to save you. And God can save you. And finally, the value of prayer is the peace of prayer. Well, I'll tell you, I hope you're seeing the prayer is valuable. You can have peace in your heart. There's a lot of troubled people out there. Their hearts are nothing but a storm, just like that demoniac. that needed, he needed the peace of God. Well, they may not be as bad off as he is, or he was, but some of the people are out there cutting themselves, and they're crying, and they're in torment, and they're in the bondage of sin, and they can be freed. They can have peace. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let me get this across to you before we leave today. John chapter 14 and in verse 27, it says this. Jesus said there's another comforter coming. Apparently Jesus was the first comforter. He said, because I'm going to send another comforter, the Holy Ghost. And in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace. I believe that's the peace of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We don't want the peace of the world. Things and the desires of the world are not going to give me peace. Money, job, all those things aren't going to give me peace. God will give me peace. The Holy Spirit will give me peace. That's what Jesus left with his disciples. And in chapter 16, verse 33, he says that same thing. He said, these things, talking about his word, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Do I have it in the world? No, I have it in him, in Christ. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So though I'm in the world, I am not of the world. I desire the peace of God, and I get that through praying to God and remembering that his Holy Spirit indwells me. And not trying to get my peace out there. My peace is with God because he's the one that lives inside of me. The Holy Spirit of God is our peace, and he indwells us. But in order to have peace, first you have to have the peace with God. Turn to Romans chapter 5. You may be saying, I don't have that peace. In fact, there's Christians in here that don't have peace in their heart. Because you're trying to fulfill your desires out there in the world. And they leave you empty every time. But I'll tell you, God can give you a fulfillment in your heart and fill you with such peace more than anything out there in that world can give you. Peace with God, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, if you're not saved here today, you have no peace with God. In fact, I'm going to read what the Bible says about those who don't know Christ as their personal Savior. In verse 6 it says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. There's many a good man in here that'll die for his son. But Jesus died for the ungodly. Jesus died for sinners. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from what? Wrath. Through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. If you're not saved today, you are the enemy of God. Your father is the devil. You are lost and you're going to go to a devil's hell, but you can be saved. You can have peace with God. And finally, for the Christian, we have peace with God. We reconciled it when we went to the cross and we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So now we can have the peace of God. Turn to the last scripture here, Philippians chapter 4. Now we can have the peace of God. You want to know the value of prayer? Commit everything to the Lord. Take it to him. Every care. Take it to him, for he careth for you. He wants to help you. He wants to bear the burden because I frankly can't bear the burden. It bends me over and stoops me over like the woman that was stooped over for all those years. And she could barely get to the Lord, but when she touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. She was able to stand up. Finally, the chains were off. In Philippians chapter 4, and in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The reason we don't have peace is because we don't go to God in prayer. We don't give him all of our troubles. We don't give him all the problems. We try to figure them out ourselves. And we come away from prayer with no peace. Give it to God. Give it to Him. Be careful for nothing. Don't be full of care about anything. Just give it to God. He loves it. He loves it when His children say, "You take it, I can't handle it anymore, Father. Take it, do something for me, Lord. I need it. It's killing me." Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke." Jesus wants us to come to Him. He likes it when His children depend upon Him. Matthew 6 tells us to take no thought for what we're going to wear, what we're going to drink. For our food, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He already knows. But He wants us to come to Him and say, "Lord, I'm depending on You. I'm not depending on the world. You're the only one that can answer my prayers. You're the only one that can help me. Cast all your care upon Him. Trust Him." Do you see the value of prayer? The person we talk to in prayer is Almighty God. Almighty God. We can draw upon the power of God in prayer because we're going to need it every day to be a Christian. The place of prayer is our own private place, and in the church should be called a house of prayer. And we should have a place in our home where we get along with God, just you and Him. And that's it. As quiet as it can be. My mother took it literally and would go into a closet. Maybe that's the only place you could find to have prayer with God. The purpose to see others blessed of the Lord, saved and changed. Are you praying for your lost loved ones? Are you praying for each other in the church to be saved and changed? The promise that He hears and remembers and answers our prayers. I think that's valuable. And peace with God, salvation. You can pray and ask God to save you. That's the first prayer He'll hear. And He heard Cornelius' prayer. And the wonderful peace of God through prayer, by casting all our burdens on Him. Let me ask you something. Can the riches in the universe buy any of these things? Can all the gold buy any of this? Not a one. Can't buy any of it. That's because there's only value and worth in prayer. Only God can supply. And you know what? You have not because you ask not. It's the only reason we don't have it. It's because we don't ask for it. Let's pray. Bow your heads and your hearts before the Lord, please. Nobody looking around.